Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But you, O Jehovah, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone, you have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Selah. In God's providence, we once again have one of these situations where the psalm that we're going to meditate upon has links with the scripture that we're going to be preaching on. We're going to be looking at verses 24 and 25 of Matthew 10 and how the disciples, the apostles, and those following after them were not to think that they were going to get off any easier than Jesus. No, if they would persecute him, they would persecute them. If they would call him terrible names and slander, why, they would do the same to those who follow him. And here we have a servant of God who is under persecution himself. A godly one who is being attacked by the wicked. Now, the historical background for this is a very sad one. We see how David totally mismanaged his family. And these were some of the fruits, the bitter fruits that came from David's foolish and wicked smashing of the seventh commandment, then the sixth commandment, also the ninth commandment, in his taking Uriah's wife, then having Uriah murdered and lying about it. God forgave him his sin, but placed David under discipline for the rest of David's life. And David had a hard time. He ruined another man in his family. David's family, to a large degree, was messed up after this. And so this, his oldest living son at this point, because Absalom had murdered his older brother Amnon, and there's another wretched story there. Absalom had rebelled against his father, and in quite a significant way. He had stolen the hearts of Israel. 10,000s followed after him. And he claimed to be king now. It was a coup d'etat, as we speak of today. We were back in the 1930s or 40s. We might, using Hitler-esque terms, talk about a putsch. But David was being overthrown, at least it appeared to all. In fact, one of David's formerly closest friends, along with his son, was in this rebellion. One of David's closest advisors. And so all these were ranged against him. They have increased. They are many who rise up against him. Many that say there's no help for him in God. He thinks about this, he writes this down, and then says, Selah. Just to remind you, this is a Hebrew term that basically means, stop there for a moment, think about what you have just written, think about what you have just read, think about what you've just sung about. It's a bad situation, a really bad situation. All those arranged against David look powerful, they look mighty, they look smart. It looks like there is no hope in an earthly way for David. There's that significant word that follows there in verse 3, however. But, and I remember seeing a lecture by R.C. Sproul where he made a big deal about this, and in only the way that R.C. can say it, Well, I shouldn't say that. He followed after his great teacher, Dr. John Gerstner. Bah! And you can maybe just hear R.C. saying it that way. Bah! But you, O Jehovah, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to Jehovah with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. All right, there's where David's hope is. And there is where David's solid hope is. There may be, as he later remarks, tens of thousands ranged against him. But all he needs is help from Jehovah, the covenant of God, the covenant God, the one who has promised, the one who fulfills. And there he can stop and think too. Well, afterward, because of this assurance and because of this confidence, knowing God as he did, he was able to lay down and sleep and then wake up again. He's not afraid of those tens of thousands who set themselves against him all around. And so, with that confidence, he cries out to Jehovah, "Arise, save me, O my God." He thinks about in the past what happened with Saul and with others. You have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. And of course, God does not change. What he has been in the past, he continues now, and he continues in the future. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Now, I should have looked this up in the Hebrew, because I've got a sneaking suspicion that we have a word, a single word there, perhaps, that is closely related to Yehoshua. Or maybe it is Yehoshua. If so, that is the name of Jesus there. Salvation to the Lord. It may be something like Lehoshua. To the Lord is salvation. But Yehoshua or Yeshua is the Hebrew form, the original form of Jesus' name. He who saves his people from their sins. And so, if this is the case, and again, I wish I'd looked it up, all those who say, well, we want to sing about Jesus, we want to sing Jesus, you're doing that here. Anyway, your blessing is upon your people. Stop and think about that, people of God. Now, we say over and over again, and we say truly, because Jesus himself has said so, that this all points to Jesus. We've just gone in through the doorway to the psalm and those two pillars of the first and second psalm. Jesus the righteous, Jesus the king. Well, he is the one who ultimately endured all the rebellion of his people against him. He is the one who faced all kinds of persecution from his own people and from the Gentiles as well, personified in Pontius Pilate. But he is the one who trusted all the way, trusted and obeyed all the way to the cross and through the cross. He is the one who took care of, removed the guilt of all his people's sin, lived righteously for them, raised victoriously, guaranteeing our resurrection as well. He is the one who brings his people through affliction and brings them to victory. So as we sing from Psalm 3, and visitors will recognize, even visitors will recognize the tune, as we sing this, let us ultimately think not merely of David, nor merely of ourselves as we endure persecution, but let us think of Jesus, who endured far worse, and who endured it with the guarantee that he would come through, and he will bring us through. Psalm 3.